Welcome in, everybody, back to another episode of The Grub Buds. Episode, I believe this is number five. You know, we did the three, took the week off, did one last week. Yeah, sure, this is five. Yeah, why not? I'd like to welcome everybody in. You know, it's another Taco Bell episode. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. It's another Taco Bell episode. But let me welcome in the guests as well. Of course, as it has been on every episode this so far, we are joined by, in the top left corner, Mr. Joe Booty. How are you doing?
Very good. How about you?
Nice. Just realized I doxed you on podcast. That's great. Cole, how are you? Cole, in the top right, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great.
Great. And Aaron, very handsome, very sexy, there's so many words to describe him. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Mr. Truman.
Oh, thank you. I am also doing fantastic. How was everybody's day? Everybody's Mondays, start of the work week?
I think you mean middle of the work week.
All right. Well, we don't all. I mean, we don't all work at 5 a.m. But welcome in, everybody. Of course, I am Truman Steen. You can find me at twitch.tv/steenmachine, Twitter by the same name, and all that other stuff. We do podcast on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays. And which day do you want to watch us talk too much? Pick a day, any day. But today's episode is Grub Buds, episode 5. What are we trying today? We're trying the bacon cheddar. No, sorry.
No.
Sorry, all these Taco Bell items run together. That's my bad. This is the Bacon Club Chalupa, right? Bacon?
Yes.
We're trying the Bacon Club Chalupa, and also Taco Bell returned their nacho fries in the last week or so. So we're going to try both these items. We're doing a super Taco Bell item. I made sure to wear my nice sweater just for this occasion. You know, when you're eating two Taco Bell items, you got to dress nice.
I'm going to go classy, show a little extra cleavage, you know, just.
Oh, wow. Ooh, wow. Joe, since you're showing cleavage, you've convinced me to let you pick which item we're testing first. Joe, which item do you want to test first?
Fuck it. I've never had nacho fries before. Let's start with those.
Never had nacho fries before. You guys were all hungry, waiting on. Aaron said he worked out right before this. He's very hungry.
Very big. He looks very
looking
strong.
Very
oh, thank my you. Gosh. Yep. Very handsome. Very sexy. Oh, my. Whoa, easy, there. Easy. Easy. That hoodie might break off here. You there. Oh, my God. All right. So let's get into the nacho fries. It's more covered in stuff than other fries from fast food restaurants are, I'd say. I guess that's a seasoning. Because it's Taco Bell, I just assume that they crusted it and they just dusted and crusted and in like Doritos. They just crushed up a bunch of Doritos, probably just put that over the nacho fries or something.
I don't know that they crushed them. I honestly think one of their employees just ate a bunch of Doritos and then touches the fries before they serve them. That's just how it works.
it's whoever they have that makes the Doritos Locos Tacos. Just after he makes it, he goes and rubs his hand across some fries and then they're good.
Yeah, it's just like a pork rub, except different.
Less hygienic.
Exactly.
More Taco Bell. Sorry, we'll go with that.
All right.
This could have been my storage thing, but are your guys' fries wet? Like, just a little bit wet?
They're not crispy, right?
Yeah.
A good fry, if you fold it in half, it should break slightly. You should be able to see that inner potato. No inner potato. Just a full circle of fry from the nacho fries here.
Well, now I feel much more wealthy than you guys because Warming Droid did a fucking fantastic job with these.
Well, it must be nice. All right, so let's get into it. Comes with a little bit of nacho cheese. Let's get that dip. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear this. I'll try my best to. Can you guys hear it? No, man, I'm really dunking it too.
Unfortunately, not.
I'm trying to break out the pickle and the mayo.
I dunked the shit out of that nacho fry. All right, let's give it a go. I think I'd try one normally also without the cheese because that's, you know, it's unfair to just only eat it with cheese because you got to compare it to normal fries, right? But I guess they are nacho fries. I don't know. I make the rules.
I don't know what they're seasoned with. I mean,
it's just that classic seasoned fry seasoning, right? Everybody's got a seasoned fry. They all taste the same. Arby's curly fries. Down here in New Mexico, we've got Blake's Lotaburger seasoned fries. Tastes the same as the curly fries. The nacho fry. I would love to know what the fry seasoning is. There's just seasoned fry. I love a good seasoned fry. It takes it. I like that elevation above a normal fry. I'm a big seasoned fry guy, but you know, it's just a fry.
If I had to guess with the knowledge that I have from Arby's fries, I think it's just Arby's seasoning, just kind of like a typical fry seasoning with chili powder in it, just to give it a little bit of a kick and make it more nacho fry. That's what I'm thinking.
Aaron, I completely agree with you, because I was trying to, I was leaning towards like a seasoned salt with just some chili powder in it.
Yeah.
So you get salt, little pepper, chili powder.
That sounds like that could be totally correct, 100%. Yeah. I can. Yeah. It's all right. You know, it's not terrible.
The truth is that there's probably one truck that's just full of all this fry seasoning, and it rolls through town and stops by every Arby's, every Taco Bell, all the Freddy's.
Yeah.
Well, just, all right, here's your palette.
Well, Taco Bell's in that same company that owns, what is it, Long John Silver's, Pizza Hut, KFC.
A&W.
A&W, yeah, where they all do all the mix and match restaurants. I love me a good Pizza Hut.
Which,
I'm like, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell's. What happened to those, you know? What happened to me getting...
Well, if you come by my house, we've got a Taco Bell KFC.
Oh, well, that's not the same. I want a personal pan pizza,
Taco Bell,
and a Nacho Bell's Grande just right next to it. Because those foods don't make sense together. Unless you're at a tailgate party, those foods don't make sense. And that's what's special about those things.
Yeah.
It's getting...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That pairing, the pairing of the Taco Bell KFC, though, it's like... It's like a match made in heaven, because both will just do terrible things to your insides. Like,
oh yeah,
that was why they paired them up originally. It wasn't the foods; they're just like, it's the effect.
Maximum.
I was tempted instead of ordering more Taco Bell for dinner, getting just a KFC basket, or what's the one where it's like chicken and potatoes and corn and cheese?
The famous bowl. Ooh, I had that last night.
The famous bowl.
If you accidentally tuned into my stream that kept on rolling after I hosted somebody last night, you would have saw my chair be empty for about 40 minutes, and then me sit back down talking to my father and eating a KFC famous bowl. So you got really exclusive content while also getting to listen probably to the NFL Pittsburgh-Cleveland Browns game. So really an experience here on twitch.tv/steammachine. So let's get rolling with the news here. And you know what? For once, I'm mixing it up. We've done it every time. It's always been somebody else. But you know what? It's me. I'm first this week because sometimes I do make the rules. But except when it's not advantageous to me, then I don't make the rules. But right now I do make the rules. And so let's start off with it was a big story on social media today. And it's something we got to cover. But... it's one of the most interesting headlines. I mean, you know, it's weird news. So what we're aiming for here is interesting headlines. So this was news on, like, a lot of sites today, which is kind of I wish society was at a point where maybe this was just, like, a guy tweeting this, and then everyone was like, okay, and it didn't end up on five different news sites that love to run with it. But this is the headline that I had to read for a good portion of the day today. Bodybuilder cheats on sex doll wife with bizarre object while she gets repaired. That's what my news story is. We're talking about Yuri Tolochko. Oh, man. Why do I always pick ones with the names that I can't say. Tolochko?
Yeah.
Tolochko? Okay, sure. From Kazakhstan. He married doll Margot last November after saying he fell in love when he spotted her at a nightclub. Remember, this is a sex doll. A doll. At a nightclub. He married her. And he was supposed to get married to her in March, but being the reasonable people they were, because of COVID concerns, they pushed it back to November. Dozens of people attended the wedding. But he had to send her away for repair after breaking her right before Christmas. Breaking her is in apostrophes. You can use your imagination on what that meant for him. He posted, but that's not where this ends, right? You would be like, weird that he married a sex doll. I assume that was all over the news, whatever day that was also. The issue here, and why this has been the big news story of Monday, January 11th in 2021, is that it was revealed that days, that after he had sent the sex doll in for repairs, because he had broken her days before Christmas, he posted a video on Instagram of him touching a silver object with small ridges in nothing but his underwear. And to which his followers replied to, which he tagged with the quote, "Looks like I've got a new passion," which his followers replied to, "Hey, aren't you cheating on your wife?" And he said, "Maybe. Maybe." And he said, "I just can't stand while she's in the hospital." So this article goes on to mention that maybe, you know, they haven't reached out for comment yet, but maybe he's not cheating on his sex doll wife. Maybe it's an open relationship. I don't know. The doll could not be reached for comment at this time. Of course, she's still getting repaired in the hospital. But, you know, I'll be watching this very, very closely. Because I'll be, you know, I'm interested. Is this cheating? Is this an open relationship with a sex doll? What's the silver object? Nobody knows. It's just very interesting. It has ridges. You know what? I've got no more words for this. I really don't. For the sex doll bodybuilder marriage cheating scandal with silver object with ridges. But might not be cheating. I don't know.
My guys. Bigger question is that, according to this, dozens of people attended the wedding.
Dozens. Yes.
Dozens.
In COVID. If there was ever a reason to not go to your buddy's sex doll marriage, it's COVID. That's the perfect excuse. Sorry, man. I don't want to be around a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but...
You don't even have to say, yeah, man, sorry. I don't want to go to your sex doll marriage. My bad, dude.
I'm amazed because I think they took engagement photos, right? There's some very professional photos of these two. And, like, if you just scroll past this engagement photo, you might not see that he's taking a picture with the sex doll. Like, these are well thought out, well lit, well edited photos.
Oh, it's not like a blow up per se. Like you see the joke ones on the TV. This looks he spent good. Oh, yeah. Whoever spent good money. I don't know. He met it at a nightclub. Did he steal this from somebody? Did he steal this sex doll? Was the sex doll already? I have questions because I don't know. Because it feels like met at a nightclub. Feels like it can't possibly be real. And I just. There looks to be a lot of money spent on the sex doll, so somebody's missing it if he just happened to meet her at a nightclub. And also, why was the sex doll at a nightclub? You guys ever been to a nightclub?
No. Apparently not the ones that have sex dolls.
Not the ones with sex dolls.
Not in Kazakhstan, no.
That's, I guess that's the excuse, is you don't know what's going on in Kazakhstan. Marrying sex dolls that you meet in nightclubs apparently is what's going on in Kazakhstan. And you know what? I think I'll stay in the good old US of A. Maybe one day I'll travel to Kazakhstan, but I'm all right for now. I think I'm still good with not meeting sex dolls at nightclubs in Kazakhstan and then cheating on them with random objects.
But, I also love how one of the pictures is captioned with that he paid a plastic surgeon to enhance her looks. It's a sex doll. don't just call up the factory or something.
That's just a... Yes, Kazakhstan. Is that where Borat's from, right? Right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
perfect. But I've seen both of the Borats. So I really don't need to go. I don't need to go there. I've seen both movies. We're good.
Just this article and Borats, I think I've got a good enough version of what Kazakhstan probably is. And I think I'm all right not going to it anymore.
Yeah.
I think I'm all right. I think I'm good.
Amazing.
Before
what also bothers me is that in other pictures, like, her mouth is, like, closed and some they're open. And it's clear that he's, like, I don't know, manipulating her to, like, I just don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt as we moved on with questions.
I mean, maybe it's a bodybuilder thing. Aaron, you went and worked out right before this show. Did you meet any sex dolls at nightclubs in Kazakhstan while you were on your way back?
No, and after working out for 10, 12 years, I've never felt any more attraction to sex dolls than, like, the absolute zero amount that I had before I started working out. So I don't know. I think it's a personal thing.
It's interesting.
But, like, you hear about it in the circuits when you're traveling and working out with a bunch of other people. They always talk about meeting sex dolls, right? They're all married to sex dolls. They've got sex doll families and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
From what I understand, it's a fairly regular thing.
All right. Does anybody else have anything else to say about this? And, you know, again, we talked about mood last week. What a perfect Taco Bell story. I love a good sex doll nightclub cheating on bodybuilder Kazakhstan story to go with my Taco Bell nacho fries. All just insane statements. That's a new sentence that has never been said before in anybody's life. And you know what? We were all here to witness it, and that's kind of nice. But...
Oh, yeah.
All right. Moving on. Before we rate these nacho fries, let's do one more story. Let's move on to something a little lighter. Aaron, do you want to talk about your story?
All right. Fantastic pun. All right. Yep. Here we go. So I took this story from another small YouTuber and podcaster, John Boy Media. shout out to our small streamers out there. So this happened last Friday, and it was a college basketball game between Arkansas Little Rock and the University of Louisiana. Those schools are in the Sun Belt Conference, and so they were squaring off. And so it was a pretty close game all the way down to the wire. Then Louisiana goes up 66-64 with about, I want to say, 50 seconds left. And then they go back and forth a few times, ball down the court, air ball three, a lot of things happen, foul called, still 66-64 Sunbelt. In the last few seconds. Yeah, this is a big game too, you know, like, this is a rivalry, like, the schools are fairly close. Arkansas is pretty close to Louisiana, so probably lots of energy and everything like that. And then as Arkansas is dribbling the ball up for the last shot, the lights go out and they flash the red lights that signify a Louisiana win with 7 seconds left, which, first of all, you're Louisiana. Like, I understand you beat a Division I football team in Kansas State in football this past year. Okay, cool. You're still Louisiana. Why are you pretending like you're the Toronto Raptors with red lights as victory and everything like that? It just doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. And so they flash those lights. Then everybody's kind of confused, but they're still dribbling the ball around. Refs don't stop the game at all. And then they airball a three. And of course, Arkansas Little Rock coach is furious. The video of him afterwards is one of the funniest things because he goes... I'm trying to I'll try to describe what I'm going to do to our podcast listeners, but, he goes like, it tries to get in the ref's face about like, hey, why didn't you stop the clock? Everything like that when the lights went out. And then, they're like telling him to back off and he's like, okay, I'm cool. And then all of a sudden in like half a second, he goes, what'd you say to me? And just like throws himself forward at the ref and like just lunges at him, like goes from 0 to 100 just so fast. It's just like, and just goes ballistic on them, as he rightfully should. I mean, if I umpired back in the day,
I was gonna ask, what would you do in this situation? What is the what's the protocol?
If the pitcher is pitching and he's in the motion, ball goes in, as like the stadium lights go out, I'm of course going to be like, okay, that pitch didn't count, and we're pausing the game right now to like get this fixed, because it's just a ridiculous little thing that could have been easily fixed by the refs. Like, okay, we're gonna stop the clock when we're gonna go back, watch the replay, and then see where the clock stopped when the lights went out and flash the victory Louisiana lights. So Louisiana ends up winning that game 66-64. Ridiculous decision by the refs to not do anything and to just stand there. I guess that's the Sun Belt Conference for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that feels like the right answer, right? Is just be like, okay, let's look at the replay. When did the lights go out? We'll restart it. No problems. I don't know why they were just like, you know what? Oh, we don't got 7 seconds. It's too much work. I'm going home. I'm done. This feels like weird news because the refs were bad. This feels like bad ref news, if anything. It's like this was a simple solution that could have been solved, and we're just like, you know what? That counts. Whatever.
Well, I think somewhere in the article, the Sun Belt said that. The Sun Belt's like, yeah, I screwed up.
Yeah.
But it's like, what do you do now?
Exactly. I can read a little bit of that quote. This is what the conference had to say. Unfortunately, the last few seconds of the Little Rock at Louisiana men's basketball game this evening were not managed properly by the officiating crew. Play should have been immediately stopped when the issue in the arena lighting occurred. The crew should have awarded Little Rock the ball out of bounds with 5 seconds on the clock to complete the last sequence. Regrettably, this did not occur. Officiating is a difficult job, but our schools, players, coaches, and fans deserve the best, and we will continue to strive to meet the standard. That's when you know your conference doesn't give a shit about you, when they just say, officiating's a difficult job. Like, we have known that for the past 150 years, since, like, soccer was invented in 1820. Like, yeah, it's hard to be an official, but there's still things that you're expected to do. Ridiculous.
Right, and we've seen some ridiculous things happen in sports. It's not hard to call somebody back out on there and be like, hey, let's just like buzz in from the conference and be like, hey guys, no, let's just redo this real quick. Bring everybody back out. 5 seconds left. There's no fans in attendance, you know, or, you know, there might have been minimal fans in attendance. You probably call out to their cars, go, hey guys, you got to come back in here. There's 5 more seconds left. And they're like, okay, yeah, that's fine. This is, you know what? I'm starting it now. This was rigged by the conference.
Hey,
they
that's
wanted Louisiana
fair.
To win.
That theory's been going around.
It's because the Raging Cajuns are just more exciting than Arkansas Little Rock. I don't even know their mascot. That's how I know they're not as exciting. That's why I know it's rigged.
Exactly.
For sure. It's facts now.
All right.
Repeated enough times.
Yes,
you speak
right.
The true truth.
That's right. That's how facts start. Is it just as spoken by one person? All right. Well, let's.
So how about those nacho fries?
How about those nacho fries, boys? This was
indeed nacho fries.
This was interesting. And before we rate this, I want everybody to see the bottom of the barrel on my nacho fries. I don't know if you guys have this. I don't know if you can see in there. There's just a crust of seasoning left. Like, that shakes around. That's wow. Just, that's
honestly,
pure
mine,
salt.
Mine just has, like, oil spots.
Yeah, I've got oil spots and seasoning.
I got Dorito fingerprints all over this thing.
Your employees did not eat enough Doritos, because that's, I mean.
He's, like, trying to grab it and then put the fries in, but he just touched the inside of the box.
He just went,
bunch.
And then shoved the fries in there.
Here, wait, I can tell you
and
guys
went,
right
made
now.
Another Doritos Locos Taco.
I'll tell you guys right now what the seasoning is on the fries, because they added about another fries worth of seasoning. Hold on. What?
All right. That's got to be good. That's the face of pure deliciousness right there.
Wow. So tasty.
The taste that I make when I drink my protein shake. Just.
I was reading something the other day about how pretty much everybody's seasoning of food comes from, like, it's like salt, pepper, onion powder, cayenne pepper, stuff like, or paprika. And I feel like that's what I'm getting here is salt, pepper, I'm thinking onion powder. I can taste that onion, a slight garlic powder maybe, and just a pinch of, it's probably not cayenne. It might be a smidge of cayenne, like maybe just a smidge or paprika, honestly.
Splurge it.
Oh, you're just skipping right past chili powder there, bud? You're reading about the spice that Taco Bell puts in all of their beef slop?
Beef slop.
I'm just not tasting chili powder. Maybe chili powder's probably chili powder.
You should actually save some of it, and then we can, be scientists and like look in the microscope, be like, whoa, what is
Wouldn't
it?
That be a spectrometer?
Nerd.
I hate to tell you, but I've already eaten all of it, and I'm disgusted. I'm as disgusted with myself as everybody who had to watch it or listen to it is. So. Oh my god. Alright. Oh man. You know what?
You
since
go
I went first on the
cola.
Stories, since I just went all that sipped all of that fry seasoning, I'm gonna give it the first rating here. Okay, so you know, again, we have to get everything before for people watching on Twitch, I'm just scraping nacho cheese out of the cup to try to get that taste of seasoning out of my mouth. Maybe just open a nice mild seasoning here. You know what? I stayed up last night because my stomach hurt, you know? And I couldn't possibly imagine why as I sit here sipping seasoning and eating nacho cheese out of the cup. But rankings. I don't know if it's because we had to wait, because obviously we have to go and get the food before and all have to time this just perfectly, and someone always runs just a little late. Not anyone specific, not only just one person always, not always the same person who always just shows up right before the time goes. Not anything like that. Couldn't possibly think of anybody it could possibly be. Not one single person who's going third when we're ranking this. But I have to say, I don't know if it, I've got the feeling that those just came out soggy. Like, I'm not sure those ever were stiff or not floppy.
Yeah.
And for people who haven't seen a nacho fry or stuff like that, it's about the thickness of a Burger King fry. Burger King has a thicker fry than McDonald's or Wendy's. It's a thicker fry than those guys. But it's not as crispy as Burger King fries could be. But it's like the shit Burger King fries that you always get. It's like, if you've had that one Burger King fry that's amazing, that's like nice and crispy, comes out perfect, and then you've had every other Burger King interaction, which is the normal floppy fry, and that's what that is, except just ass blasted with seasoning. And it's not a bad seasoning after eating spoonfuls of it right now. It's a fine seasoning that I'm okay with, but my ranking for it, the nacho cheese adds, it's perfect, it's a good, it needs the nacho cheese. My ranking for it, 76. Nope, 72. That's where I feel about it. It passes. It does okay. It's the kid that sits in the back of class and doesn't say shit and shows up on the day of the test and does okay. And you're like, how do you feel about it? He says, whatever. And then that's about how the Taco Bell nacho fries go. Aaron, how do you feel about it?
You gave a very detailed description, and I think you hit a lot of solid points. I think it's tough because this is not Taco Bell's specialty of fries. Okay, and I also have a question that I forgot to ask. Did their nacho fries, when they used to have them in the past, be like more like potato wedges? Because I could have sworn that's what they were.
Are you thinking of like the sunrise potatoes that they used to have or whatever that they discontinued?
Fiesta potatoes are what you're thinking.
That's what I was thinking of.
They used to have Fiesta potatoes, which was different. And then they got rid of all their potato items, and it was like this year, and people are pissed about it.
Right, yeah. Their menu is just gutted. I do think Taco Bell is like, they're slipping. They are slipping to their competitors of just better Mexican, authentic restaurants.
Yeah, I was about to say, who are you thinking is a Taco Bell competitor?
Taco Bueno?
Taco
Yeah. Ponchos? Del Taco? Have y'all ever been to Ponchos?
Ponchos is a local Kansas City thing, and it kills Taco Bell. Murders it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely murders Taco Bell.
Topeka and, like, Junction City, too, I think.
I was going to say, Taco Bell's in a weird position because it's a worldwide chain that just competes with a bunch of kind of area specific chains.
Yeah. I know Poncho's snapped a man I knew out of a blackout drinking night. It snapped him back to reality and he started to remember things again. That's the power of ponchos. But what I will say is they weren't wedges before, but I don't think they were as seasoned as they are now. I think they are more seasoned the second time around. I think somebody was like, not seasoned enough. And whoever said that guy, whoever that guy was, better have been fired. That's too much seasoning on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I'll give it a 78. I think if it was warm, if we were eating it right after we got it, definitely would have been a lot better. Warmer cheese would have done the trick too on me. And that could just be me, you know, being hungry and everything like that. Like I said, I think the standard deviation of my ratings on this one has to be like 5 to 6%, because it's just, you know, there's a little bit too much variance with my schedule today to where I'm super hungry for this. So yep, 78. That's what I'm going with.
Nice. All right. Moving on to the third person. Not that we mentioned anything as specific about this third person who's going.
Yes. Absolutely like zero things specific.
Take away this ranking, Mr. Third Person.
Let's see. I'm going to apply the college rule of this. This would get a degree. This is going to get a solid D range from me. Just because from everything on the menu, Taco Bell tried to market this as like a main item. Because, you know, you pull up and you see on the thing and it's like the $5 box of these nacho fries. And it's like,
a nacho fries box, yeah.
I don't think it's a main item. It's a fantastic, like, side. Like, yeah, some seasoned fries and nacho cheese. Boom. Nailed it. But agreeing with you guys, it's good. A little too much seasoning on the fries. Needs the cheese. But I'm going to give it a solid 68. Gets a degree.
Yeah.
But.
That's a good one.
It's also not nice, but.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Just a little short.
I surprisingly liked them a lot more. I think as a fry, they definitely beat Burger King fries for me. I'm sorry. Burger King fries are, I don't know, regular potato fries for me aren't that great. Fries need seasoning. They need sauces, whatever. In this case, the nacho cheese. Like, I would not eat these nacho fries alone. They're like, they just taste like seasoned potato. It's not anything special. But realistically, I think the only reason my ranking on them is lower is I know there's one step that could be taken for them to be any better. Just make them crispy.
Yeah.
They just have to be cooked like a little bit longer, 30 seconds longer in the fryer, and they're golden. They're perfect. Yeah. Yes, chef's kiss. They're perfect. Mm-hmm, so for me, I'm going to sit. It's funny that, Truman, the first thing you said was 76, because that was actually the exact number that I had in my head. So, yeah, 76 for me on these. They're really tasty. They're not high quality. I think that's where they sit.
That's a good, yeah. I think, I think they end up on the side of being over-seasoned to the point where it's like salty or makes your mouth dry. There's a fine line to walk on seasoning between getting where you're just eating seasoning instead of actually eating fries and seasoning, or fries with seasoning. You're eating seasoning with fries, and I think we're a lot closer. And I was personally. I don't know, because your guys didn't have all that seasoning.
We are way closer to noodles with oregano than noodles with white sauce and a dash of oregano.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Yes, all right. Show up on time next week. All right, here we go. let's move on to the second item. Talking the Bacon Club Chalupa. Did I get that right? Club Bacon?
Nailed it.
You got Chalupa it. Bell wow. Taco thing. I don't know. Where's a good path?
I'm going to throw some mild on this real quick.
They didn't ask me what meat I wanted this time. I think I got chicken. Last time I got steak, and the steak...
I believe it comes with chicken. I asked if I could get one with chicken, one with steak, and it was going to be like another $1.50 for steak. And so I went, chicken's okay.
All right, but let's give it a go. On. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
I guess for a club sandwich, it makes, or for a club chalupa, it makes more sense for chicken. You all right there, Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to like put sauce on it with, and also holding it up at the same time, and it's just struggling.
It's like I heard Baking Club, and it was just like, but it's still gonna taste like a chalupa. Mm-hmm. It literally tastes like a chalupa wrapped around a Baking Club. Like that is right on the nose, exactly what I'm tasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bacon, chicken, lettuce, tomato, all on bread. I'm not getting the bacon as much. But they do have that sauce on there. I'm not sure what I looked at it when I was about to order it, like online. It's like an avocado crema sauce or it's ranch, avocado ranch or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is delightful. Mm. All right.
Oh yeah. Honestly, I felt really dumb because I've been into it and I was waiting for like the sour cream, afraid that it's a club and not a, you know, taco.
Mm-hmm. So far, this show has an affinity for chalupas, and I think it will persist here. But while we finish eating our chalupas and just make mouth noises and mms, let's get into our final two stories. Joe or Cole, either of you really itching to get it out?
I think third presenter, not that that has any importance in this podcast so far. I think the presenter should go third, just so we remember who the third presenter is.
That makes the most sense. Whoever was third, even though nothing special about the third again, could you...
I guess that would be Joe. Joe Booty is third.
It was third. Okay. Was the third person who we mentioned earlier about going third when eating food. Yeah, let's hear your story. The third story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you just take a bite?
Hold on, we're gonna kill more time here while we wait on Joe to finish his bite.
He was like,
I had one bite left, all right.
I need some food in my mouth.
You just scarfed down that chalupa. Oh my god. Oh my god. Is this...
Alrighty, so my story is about this man named Nick Carson, who suffers from one of the most interesting, awesome sounding, but also worst actually having conditions ever, called autobrewery syndrome, where his body automatically turns carbohydrates into alcohol after he eats it. So he has to carry a breathalyzer around with him all the time. He says that it is so interesting because it makes him crave Victoria sponge cake, which if he eats a slice of cake, will immediately put him 3 times past the legal driving limit.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
That is hammered. 0.24 is hammered.
Oh, yeah. That's gone. He says,
Holy shit.
He added... Direct quote, I can go from being stone cold sober to being 3 times the driving limit in minutes. The effect isn't pleasant, and I have sections of my memory where I have no idea what I've done. Big surprise there.
Children's birthday parties.
He says he developed it after being exposed to strong chemicals about 2 decades ago. He only finally got diagnosed because his wife saw it on a TV drama.
Sure.
So let's see. Sometimes they say his condition is a joke and that he'd be cheap to take out, but it's horrible because he will wake up on the other side, there's a whole lot of psychological damage, and you feel guilty about what you said and did the night before because you had a sandwich.
God, that's crazy.
Wow.
So much of that is... I know. I mean...
Exactly. It sounds so immediate, like, bro, I could just, like, eat cake and be wasted, which sounds great to a college student, but then you sit there and think about it, and you're like, shit, everything has carbohydrates in it. No matter what you eat, you're going to have some amount of reaction to it.
Any amount of sweetness or bread. Oh, my God. Yeah, because, I'm with you. I was like, hell yeah, bro, let's get fucking lit. But it literally means that eating sustenance that has carbs in it turns you into an alcoholic, essentially. Because that's why he's talking about craving that Victoria sponge cake. He's like, I would have killed for a slice. And it's like, yeah, it's because alcoholism. That's...
Dang.
Alcohols.
Yeah, I think we all hear that at first and go, oh, lucky. No. Unlucky. But on the bright side, he didn't do it until he was like 40.
Yeah.
Because odds are, if you had this when you're in college, like high school, you'd probably kill yourself. Easy. Oh, yeah. I mean...
I was like, yeah, I mean, imagine going to your best friend's birthday party, but you're drunk in 7.
I mean, I was anyways, but...
Oh, yeah. Cake, Mom! I colored.
Yeah.
You see, and I think we're the right ones to really break this down, because we are definitely doctors, or at least, like, armchair doctors. Okay,
for sure,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, explain this to me. So it's going into his intestines as like carbohydrates, but in there it turns it into alcohol. So then does it go back to his liver, or is it just like going and be processed through his liver like it's supposed to? Wait, does everything get processed through your liver? I'm sorry. This is terrible content. I am just speculating because
no,
I have
no medical
knowledge.
I think you're asking what everybody here is asking.
It happens in his stomach, because if it gets absorbed early enough in the process, it goes through your liver. It gets absorbed, goes through the liver and whatnot, because the problem is when you do it the other way around, it bypasses your liver.
Right.
Okay.
Like if you ever take
butt chugging, Aaron.
If you ever take butt chugging is a good example. If you ever take antibiotics, they kind of shut down your liver function. If you ever make the mistake of drinking antibiotics, you will be. I'm not condoning this for any reasons. I'm also not condoning getting auto brewery syndrome or whatever it is. But, if you ever accidentally take what's the word? What am I?
Antibiotics.
Yeah, holy shit. I was on auto. If you take those, that'll bypass your liver function. You'll be hammered on like a drink or two. And you're like, what is going on? But yes, I assume it happens in your stomach and then it goes through your liver. So,
well, yeah. I guess the normal way then would be that if you drink alcohol, your stomach neutralizes some of the alcohol and lessens how much is absorbed. Whereas it's when you bypass your stomach, you just get alcohol dumps into your bloodstream.
Right. Yeah.
Fun time.
Well, that's interesting.
Jeez.
definitely different. Definitely weird. Definitely a good tone for the show. Let's bring it home. Cole, you've got a story about this foot that I'm showing on stream right now.
Yes.
It's a foot.
It is.
Can you explain why you had me put a severed human foot on the screen?
Yeah. Well, of course. We can always explain that on this show. So this actually does come from the Delta Police Department in British Columbia. Oh, beautiful Canada. It's wonderful. So the officer was on foot and was stopped by a passing driver.
On foot.
And so the driver was apparently very distraught and states that there was a severed foot roadside somewhere up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so the officer went to investigate. And naturally, when he comes upon this foot, he starts to look around, look a little bit closer. And looking at it, this is a very realistically looking foot, but it was just the foot off of a mannequin. And if I had to pick a single body part to fall off of a mannequin that could convincingly look real, this is it. Like, that picture is a little bit mortifying. But I think what is even better about the whole story is that it is from Canada. And, like, in the United States, someone sees a human foot, they're probably just like, well, that was weird. They don't say anything about it. They aren't like, maybe it's a cool story they tell, like, drunkenly later. But Canada, you see a human foot, holy shit. Like, that's a human foot laying on the side of the road. You got to do something about that now. No. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. That type of stuff. Like, maybe in Florida, you collect the foot. You like, there's some sort
Florida
of
man story to be made here.
The yes, exactly. Exactly. So, this poor person in Canada, I think There's no resolution on the story, but I think it would be pretty amazing if the person who reported it still doesn't know that it was just a mannequin foot. Like, I wonder if they had to find the article, see somebody wrote about it, because they went home and were just constantly thinking about this human foot that they saw on the side of the road. So, yeah, that's it.
Just can't shake it. Yeah, that's... Huh. I really don't know what to make of this. Like, I don't know how it... I mean, you know, I'm not here to question whether that not that's a real human foot. I'm not going and picking up that foot. Like, I can't blame somebody for being like, officer, there's a foot, and that's not my fucking job. That's your job, officer.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, police. Do the police things. I'm going to go to McDonald's.
Right, I don't know what we pay the police for, but my guess is foot stuff. No, wait. Hold on, wait. That came out wrong. Hold on. Foot, severed foot stuff, I think.
Is closer. I'm curious on how they drive by recognize the foot. Like, to me, I just picture they weren't walking. They were just in their vehicle, and they're like, holy shit, was that a foot? Is that how it works?
I was like, because honestly, like...
I'd have to drive back by.
I was going to say, if you're going fast enough, it's going to be like a blur of something, and you're going to have to, like, stop, put it in reverse, go back, and be like, yeah, that's a foot. And then you keep going, and then you find the cop.
Yeah.
I've got a bad feeling that was a foot.
I'm just glad that the officers are putting their best foot forward on this one.
Get hate you. Out. How dare you say this to us? How dare you? Oh, my God.
Right. Looks like
come on our show. You give your opinion. You tell your news story, and this is what you do to us.
I'm just saying, we better be on foot patrol for now on.
I'm gonna.
You know what they say about Aaron. You give him an inch, he takes a foot. All right, that's the last foot joke of the show. Anybody else more feet jokes? Any more feet jokes before we move on to ranking the Bacon Club? All right, so as we normally do, let's go in reverse order. Cole, Bacon Club Chalupa, where are you ranking it?
Yeah, surprisingly, like I said, it is exactly how it sounds in its name. It's zero surprises at all. I really think, if I had to compare it to the regular chalupas, it is not even close to the same level. And like, I'm trying to justify, so I ate it after the nacho fries, so I'm going to give it a little bit more credit than I really thought. I probably would not intentionally buy this again. I don't think there's a craving. Like, I think there is not an exact craving that I would have that this would fall under. So for me, I'm going to go slightly under the nacho fries at a 74.
Okay. Wow, under the nacho fries.
Yes.
Wow. I thought you said you were going to give it more credit than the nacho fries.
I gave it, that's exactly right. I gave it the credit for being eaten after the nacho fries. So I'm more full. I accept that my appetite was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still just not, it's not as good. The nacho fries are something that maybe I could think, like, I would crave that at some point. I might go to Taco Bell for it, but I don't think I would go to Taco Bell just for this chalupa, especially compared to the rest of their chalupas. They're all very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. All right, Joe?
As you know, I'm a giant fan of the chalupas.
Yes.
And
chalupa guy over there, yes, for sure.
I agree a little bit with Cole. It's not as good as the regular chalupas, but it is still a damn good chalupa. So I know he dropped it under the nacho fries. I'm still going to give it, you know, a good mid to high 80s. Throw it in a nice little 86, 87.
Okay.
Because if I remember correctly, I put the original chalupa at like a 95. I put the chalupa and the toasted cheddar chalupa very high.
Yes.
So I don't think this is 90s territory of a chalupa, but I still give it that very good. I agree with Cole. If I'm ever back at Taco Bell, I will be getting a regular chalupa. Because, yes, chalupa. But this is very good. So, like I said, 86, 87, somewhere in there. Go ahead and average that to 86.5, I guess.
Nice. All right, Aaron?
I'm going to look directly into my camera so people know that how serious I am about this. I am disappointed to the max, and I want to just, I'm going to rip it so bad, and it's nothing against my coworkers here on GrubBuds. Like, I understand everybody is entitled to their opinion.
You guys are getting
this
paid?
This was a piece of trash.
Wait. You're
paid with love. Paid with love and friendship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
wait,
I am not a fan. Okay. Ouchies.
Wait, we know him?
All right.
So,
let him go. Let him go.
The Bacon Club Chalupa is not worth it. It was $4.30, $4.29. Sorry, I'll be more exact. $4.29, 440 kilocalories. It was on pita bread, I guess. That's what we would call the chalupa, like, bread. It's like just kind of like pita bread. Yeah. And then there's bacon, lettuce, cheese, and I really didn't taste much else. And the bacon tasted like it came out of one of those, like, packages of, like, bacon, like, little chunks that you would put on your salads and stuff like that bacon from Walmart.
Bacon bits.
It tastes like rubbery little bacon bits of the cheapest, like, Aldi Walmart brand bacon bits. The lettuce, there's always too much lettuce. Like, iceberg lettuce is the worst lettuce possible.
For sure.
I think that's pretty agreeable. There's no taste to it. It's just water. The cheese, you know, cheese is good. Oh, yeah, tomatoes. I forgot that part. Tomatoes are fine. It wasn't worth it. I am just like... Like, how is this an item, in my opinion? Because there's a good amount of bacon, I'll give it that, but it doesn't taste like something that would fill me up, would, like, satisfy anything that I'm craving at the moment, because mm-hmm. the bacon isn't good. I'm giving it a 27. Like, it's...
Wow!
Probably the lowest score I'll ever give on GrubBuds.
Mind-boggling.
Worse than the Peppermint Patty Bud Light Seltzer.
Dang. Oh, easily. A Peppermint Patty Bud Light Seltzer has a purpose. You know, you're eating, like, chocolate or white chocolate desserts at the time. This is just, like, you're paying $4.29. There's, like, everything else on the Taco Bell menu is better and better priced. And then you can go anywhere else in the world to get, you know, Mexican food or whatever you are craving. Terrible. Terrible.
Interesting.
Disgraceful. Never will get again.
Wow.
That price is a really good point. That's because that does put this chalupa in McRib territory. And I know I tore apart the McRib because it was trash and because it was expensive. I could have bought a burger and I bought a damn McRib.
Yeah.
Horrible decision.
You could get pretty much any item on the Taco Bell menu for $4.29.
Yeah. That is true.
Wow. What an absolute ribbing of it. I'm here to say that it's not... I don't know. If this is what you're looking forward to every year to come back, you should feel bad. You should hate yourself. You should think about your life. You should think about where you're at in life. You should think about your priorities. You should get your priorities in straight.
God damn.
I'm sorry. No, it's actually... It's fine. It's a fine chalupa. It is a letdown. I think if we hadn't had the toasted cheddar chalupa before, I don't think we'd be as let down as we were. And you did... And Aaron... who absolutely ripped it apart, didn't have the toasted cheddar chalupa. So that's insane,
right?
About how much he had to even say about it, because he didn't even have, because that one was a crazy, knocked it out of the park. That one was, better than the chalupa. Other people were, you know, but we were all pretty, it was all pretty close to the chalupa. And this one, just the billing. Like, if you handed me that, I got you a chalupa, and you handed me that, fine, whatever. I'd be like, okay, that's pretty good. But I was expecting the bacon to come through. I was expecting more of the avocado ranch. The avocado ranch was good, but I didn't taste any bacon on that. It just tasted like a club chalupa for me. Which is essentially just a Kahlua with avocado ranch. And yeah, it's a letdown. But I'm not sure that I'm ready to rank it below the nacho fries. I had the 73 for the nacho fries, 72 for the nacho fries. I'm going to put The cheddar chalupa at a nice even 75. I think it was not worse than the nacho fries, but it was certainly a letdown from what it was billed as. And again, if you just handed me that and said it was chalupa, I think I'd be like, oh, this was great. But the fact that I was expecting it to be different or have, you know, taste the bacon and stuff like that, my disappointment is immeasurable and my day is ruined. Thank you, Taco Bell. I really didn't expect to be let down this much by Taco Bell. So what is that? What's the average score on those numbers?
65.63. That is your. That's a
wow.
Aaron, you had a big influence in our opinion here. I can't lie.
I'm gonna be honest. Is this the widest spread we've ever had on an item? Because everything else we've more or less been kind of in agreement. But here we had, I gave it what, an 80, 86? Aaron was over here giving it a 27.
Yeah, I was going to go the inverse of Cole's and make it a 47. But I was trying to justify it in my brain and I just couldn't get there. And I was like, fuck it, 27.
Fuck you, damn. Taco Bell.
Yeah, for reference, the nacho fries were a 73.5. So... we officially do like the nacho fries at least more so than the chalupa.
Right. I think that's where
the bacon club chalupa.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's the issue, is that it's the bacon club chalupa. If it was just a normal item, we'd be fine. But instead, it's disappointment. Well, Aaron, do you have any more parting words for the bacon club chalupa?
Other than get your life together, Taco Bell, I don't know who needs to help you. You have plenty of friends out there. It's obvious that you're struggling with gutting your menu and just adding things that I don't think people go to Taco Bell for. If you ever need someone to talk to, just pay me like $10,000. I'll come in and consult just for a couple hours.
That's your going rate, is a couple $1,000 an hour.
Yeah, my going rate is $5,000 an hour. You know, I can come in, give my expert opinion because I'm here on GrubBuds, an expert show. So yeah, just let me know.
Well, shit, boys, we need to wrap this show up before we hit an hour. Joe, where can we find you at?
Fuck everywhere, Booty Boy. That's my tag.
BOOTTEBOY Boy.
Why?
All right. Boy. Cole, where can we find you at? Where do you like to shout out?
Shout out the fantastic graphic designers at twitch.tv/steammachinesexiestdesignteam on Twitch.
You.
That's true. That's what right. I'm on record saying that. Aaron, anything to shout out?
Nope. Just hug your loved ones in this trying time with Taco Bell sucking a little bit.
The trying times we're talking about and referring to, of course, are Taco Bell. And of course,
no doubt.
You can find me at twitch.tv/steammachine, twitter.com/steammachine. We do the sports podcast on Tuesdays of Dom That's True. You can find that wherever you're listening to this GrubBuds podcast. Again, also on twitch.tv/steammachine. And, you know, I stream Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, trying to take Wednesdays and Thursdays off for the most part. But I appreciate you guys being here. We're going to get this in under an hour so we don't have to pay Aaron $5,000. We hope to see you next week, maybe Sonic, maybe somewhere else. Tweet us your ideas. Shoot us DMs. If you know us, send us something to tell us where it is. Thank you for being here. We'll see everybody next week.
We've had enough of this nonsense.